see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Our history lesson second hour here on this Friday, June 26, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us as usual for a history lesson discussion, Pastor Rusty Chatfield is on the line with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I had sent you that link to the letter that Robert Chernin had addressed to President Trump about, Mr. President, finish the job in Iran. You looked it over. You also did some additional research. You looked at and sent me the information from Steve Dace, talk show host and also a longtime friend from Michigan. Let's get the conversation started. First of all, what did you think about the opinion piece from Robert Chernin to the president?
Well, comma, I agree. Yeah, I want to get the job done in Iraq. Iran. There are a lot of considerations, though. It's just not quite okay. Get the job. Let me ask you this, Randy. What do you mean get the job done? You mean a new regime?
Yes.
And if it's a new regime, who?
Give us a history of Persia and the Shah of Iran. Explain to the folks the history of what led up to what happened in 1979.
Okay, the Shah was a strong man. He at the time, he was friends with the United States, very, very good relationship with the United States, even with Jimmy Carter. And but he was a strong man. Now, that said, we believe in a Republican form of government, democracy. Well, you know what? The world's not ready for democracy. Iran certainly was not ready. They don't have a long history of a Republican form of government. And so when the Islamic Revolution took place, we did not really support the Shah a little bit initially, but then we gave him up. We said, okay, you better leave. We can at least claim ignorance back in those days, that we didn't know how extreme these clerics would be in Iran. We didn't understand. I mean, we should have. When the American embassy was taken hostage, the workers were taken hostage in 1979, I mean, we thought we could reason with these people. As your listeners, we all know, you know, Iran is supposed to guarantee the safety of that embassy, and they did not. And they held our 52 Americans, I believe it was, hostage for 444 days. And Carter was trying to talk with them. He did freeze their assets in the United States, but really nothing. We couldn't budge them. It wasn't until President Reagan was taking the oath of office, and the hostages were finally released because they saw in Ronald Reagan a much stronger leader, that they were, you know, that he might do something. And so they've been in power since 1979, and they are brutal people. Now, here was the deal. The Shah was a strong man, and you said, well, he didn't provide freedom. Listen, some people are not ready for freedom. Iran, I don't think, was, or even to this moment, is ready for a Republican form of government. But there's so many lessons, and we'll talk about all that on the other side.
Absolutely. Perfect spot for a break. Good way to tee up the conversation today with Pastor Chatfield. I'm Trucker Randy. We'll be right back.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experienced nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number two, continuing our history lesson regarding Iran, the history of Iran and the takeover by the Iranian regime back in 1979. Pastor Sheffield, go ahead and pick it up right where your thoughts were.
Okay. Obviously, these Islamists were not going to hold free and fair elections. That's not who they are. That's not what they believe in. We know what they believe in. They are radical Islamists of the Shia persuasion, and a lot of their thinking is tied into their theology, and they're looking for the great appearance of the Muslim Messiah, and they think that that's going to be preceded by war and a lot of terrible things. That's who they are. See, well, you know, this now we've got, careful now, now we've got some mullahs that are more reasonable in there right this second here, night in 2026. They're more reasonable. They're, you know, I really don't think so. Not unless they just completely give up their Islamic Shia faith, which they're not going to give up. See, they're not ready for that. They're not prepared for that. A lot of people want to say, well, you know, different religions can coexist. Yes, if they all have some understanding of law and voting and constitutionalism, they do not. Let me tell you. Let me go back to the George Washington in his farewell address. Here's what he said. He's talking to the United States before he left. This is what he wanted to embed in our thinking. He said, with slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. He's looking at America. Yeah, there's Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists, but those are slight shades of differences. But we had the same manners, habits, political principles. And the thing that he emphasized in the farewell address is that when it's predisposed, if you have a Republican form of government, that when whoever wins the election and you have a change of power, that we accept the election results and that you have free and fair elections. Listen, when a country cannot do free and fair elections, they're headed for deep trouble. Go back to 2016. There's a lot of Americans. I'm sorry, 2020. There's a lot of Americans that believe that there was a lot of cheating going on. A lot of Americans believe that. And it kind of rocked us a little bit. You got to have faith in your institutions. Listen, they have no history of that. So, okay, so we take out the Islamists. Then what do? Do we just take somebody and impose him on them? Or do we let the Shah's son or grandson or somebody come in and, listen, whoever takes over in Iran, if there is regime change, is going to have to be a strong man. They can't run elections. They don't have a history of it. They don't have a belief in it. I mean, we're starting the day right now in Michigan and all over the country where you've seen campaign, signs on front lawns, and we want so-and-so for state senate or whatever, U.S. Senate, whatever's up. And so we have our primary, and we have our election, and then we say things, and then we go back to, but whoever's elected, we have a board of canvassers that kind of certifies the elections, and pretty much we have good elections here. And we pretty much may not like the outcome of our elections, but we go along with it. That's just
okay,
not the case.
I'm going to stop you on that point. I don't think the right way to do it is to immediately go to elections in Iran. I think what you do is you reach out to someone like the Shah of Iran's son, who's been living here for 40 years, to put together a transition government. Let them continue basically just running the government, running the country, and then let them lead themselves to a point of, okay, what do we want to do? Do you want to keep me here as the quote-unquote leader? Do you want to hold elections? How do we set up a constitutional government? How do we do it? Or is it something we want to do and leave it to the people of Persia to be able to make that decision? This regime, I don't trust them. I don't think the deal that they're going to sign is going to be worth the paper it's written on. I don't trust these guys. They lie every single time. They never honor the deals, the agreements. And then we end up back here in the same place 5-10 years from now.
Okay, I get that. Let the people decide what they want. No. What do you mean the people? That's what I mean. They have no mechanisms. Listen, it took England centuries to come to a to a first of all, they didn't even have a United Nation. So you had ultimately, you have all these, the Tudors, the Stuarts, and all these, the Lancasters and the others. There's so many different. It took them centuries to get a stable government with a king. Then it took them more centuries to get a somewhat of a limited monarchy. And then eventually a constitutional kind of monarchy. And now we have a figurehead monarchy. It took a long time, centuries. And it can work in five years, 10 years. And it won't work in our lifetime. They're not ready for that. It won't happen. So what happens is once you get a strong man, a king, a monarch, call him what you want, he's got to be in charge. And hopefully he's benevolent. But he's not going to. How do you quote, go to the people and let them tell you? See, that's the mistake we made in 79. Well, this is a popular uprising of Islamists who are tired of the strong hand of the Shah. Then look what we got. It became much worse. It just doesn't work that way. Here's a quote by Edmund Burke. He's known as the father of modern conservatism. He said, men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains on their own appetites. Society cannot exist unless a controlling power upon will and appetite be placed somewhere. And the less of it there is within, the more there must be without. It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Iran is a divided country with a lot of men, people with intemperate minds. Whoever gets power is going to be in charge. The world's, ours, United States, Israel's, the region's best hope is to have a strong man come in there and be strong. And then we're going to have to look the other way when he does what he has to do. That sounds terrible. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. I believe in our Constitution. What do you mean look the other way? You mean ignore atrocities? Well, how do you think kings maintain order? That's the way it works. That's the way it's always worked in history. There's turmoil in the Middle East. Let me give you an example of something. That's why I said Iraq earlier. Iraq, the neighbor of Iran, didn't even exist as a country. Did not exist until 1932. Portions of Iraq were a part of the Ottoman Empire. And because the Ottoman Empire lost, they were part of the Ottoman Empire and the Austrians and the Germans, the Austrian-Hungary, they were a part of that alliance that lost World War I. They lost their empire. And so they created Iraq just at a drawing table. It wasn't even a country. They just said, okay, you know, this is going to be a country. In the midst of that country, there was a group of people called the Kurds, K-U-R-D-S, and they're still there. They're an indigenous people, have their own language. There's about 30 or 40 million of them. And these Kurdish people are in Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Syria. As soon as the present regime is overthrown, if we do that, okay, all right. They're going to be clamoring immediately for independence. They've been clamoring for independence for a long time. And who won't like that? Turkey won't like that because they want to keep the Kurdish people there with them. And Iraq won't like it. Syria won't like it. Nobody will like it except the Kurds. See, in other words, once you throw out this regime, you're going to have sectarian mess. It's going to be messy. Now, I get that. As long as we can handle the mess, there will be a mess. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, let me tell you one of the biggest mistakes in my opinion, of George W. Bush in the Iraq War. He says, well, okay, we're going to go in there. We're going to take out Saddam Hussein. And then we're going to have a free and stable Iraq. Oh, we're going to have a free and stable Iraq. You're going to take out the bad guy who was bad, brutal dictator. Far, far worse than the Shah of Iran. But then who takes over in Iraq after we take out Saddam? Then you have ISIS. And as far as Christians and persecutions and murders, they were as bad as the Saddam. Maybe worse in some ways. They're both bad. once you topple over something, boy, it's just very difficult. In our country, yes, we had 13 colonies, but we had, as George Washington said, just slight shades of differences. Same religion, manners, habits, political principles, language. The Kurds have their own language. They have their own brand of Islam. And they're always very friendly to the United States. They've always wanted to be an ally of the United States. And people say, well, we can't just split up the country of Iraq like that and take part of it. Well, that's what happened after World War One. Men set at boards and they draw up a new map. They did that in Europe. That's what happened in the Treaty of Versailles. They just said, okay, Germany, you lost. You're going to lose this section. You're going to lose that. They lost sections to Poland. They lost sections to France. A whole bunch of different things arbitrarily taken from Germany after World War One, which created a very... The Germans thought that they were very much betrayed at Versailles, and then they were susceptible to somebody named Adolf Hitler to come and say, hey, let's restore Germans' prestige and power. I'm simply saying when you overthrow a regime, it is not it's hard to pick up the pieces, and it will be hard. And I say, I'm with you. Yes, we have to do that, but let's not kid ourselves. And here's my last point. And this is what Steve Dace's point was. Our country's not ready for that. I don't think. I don't know. In other words, you think that we can do this all from the air? I'm not so sure. And but if we start sending troops over there and then we have a few hundred die, the left is going to be clamoring, seize, get out. And some of our libertarian Republicans will say the same thing. Then what do we have? You're going to have a civil war in Iran, and it's going to get bloody. Colin Powell said this, and I think this is rather true. If you broke it, you own it. Or if you broke it, you got to fix it. We are breaking it, or have broken it, however you want to look at that. We have to find somebody to be strong that's going to come in and maintain order. And then we're going to get criticized by the rest of the world by saying, look what the Americans did. Look how brutal this son of the Shah is. And he's going to have to be somewhat brutal because it's a divided country. In the article that you sent me, the guy says, well, this is not the people of Iran. And my response to that is, well, what people? What people are you talking about? There's a good minority of people that are radical Islamists. And then there's a good kind of a secular Islam. And then there's a growing group of Christians. And there's Kurds. And there's all sorts of different sects in Iran that are going to be hassling with each other and fighting. That's just the way the world works. I said my little bit there, so I can give you more historical precedence, but that's my view.
Well, the only problem I have, and I understand we have ballots literally in the mail as we speak for the upcoming primary. We're going to be voting November 3rd, not only in Michigan, but across the country, midterm elections. I understand gas prices causing inflation for food and everything else that we buy. He's doing this for political expediency. He's trying to save the midterm elections. And he's trying to maintain the majority in the House and the Senate in Washington, D.C. And I understand it. It's just it was such a prime opportunity to fix it once and for all. But I guess we're not going to be able to do that. We're going to continue the conversation with Pastor Chatfield. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.